You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
New York City has a history of enthusiastically welcoming heroes home with a gigantic ticker tape parade. Charles Lindbergh returned home from his historic 33-and-1/2-hour transatlantic flight. The amount of litter picked up after the parade in his honor weighed 1,750 tons. General Eisenhower, after returning from World War II, was celebrated with 77 tons of paper. President Truman was showered with 50 tons of ticker tape. And Douglas MacArthur, after being released from his Far East command, returned to a hero's welcome, enthusiastically expressed by a shower of over 3,000 tons of paper. And now consider this. When Jesus the Messiah, seated on a donkey, rode into Jerusalem 1 week before Easter for the first Palm Sunday celebration, the applauding crowds did not welcome him with a ticker tape parade. A post-celebration paper cleanup was therefore unnecessary. Instead of throwing ticker tape paper, the crowds waved newly cut palm branches. For their king, they made a carpet of cloth. They laid down their own clothes in front of the historic procession. Emotion-packed, that's the only way to describe the first Palm Sunday event. Crowds were singing, children caught up in the excitement, were skipping and dancing. Even the disciples were uncertain what was happening. These things Jesus' disciples did not understand. So wrote the God-inspired author of the Gospel of John. To be sure, even our generation suffers from the same lack of understanding of Palm Sunday events which the disciples momentarily experienced. In our generation, we possess a type of religious trivial pursuit. For example, as I mentioned, today is Palm Sunday. For the Christian community, this Sunday represents a special worldwide festive occasion. Few, however, who today call themselves Christian fully comprehend the significance of Jesus' triumphal entry for their own lives. Many are aware of the historical facts of Good Friday and Easter, that Jesus indeed was crucified on a cross, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And yet, precious few understand what this all means for them. What a blessing this biblical knowledge could be in times of trial and difficulty. As a sad consequence, we may possess a multitude of religious facts, and yet we may fail to make any sense out of them. We then end up with a distorted understanding of Jesus. His gracious promises to us are never truly experienced. Necessary spiritual strength for the rigors of daily life is bypassed. Encouragement for times of difficulty is sacrificed, and eternal life in paradise is potentially forever forfeited. A survey was conducted in a large Midwestern university. It sought to determine which person of history college students today most admire. A surprisingly large percentage of that particular student body indicated that their hero is Jesus Christ. Now, in a generation of rock music heroes and other negative role models, to some, seeing young people consider Jesus their hero may be encouraging. Jesus, however, does not present himself as such. On the first Palm Sunday, as the long-promised Messiah rode triumphantly on the foal of an ass toward the holy city of Jerusalem, Jesus thereby fulfilled the promise of Zechariah the prophet, who said, "Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." Now, who would expect a king or a president or any other powerful ruler today to arrive in a city riding a bicycle? Even today, we expect dignitaries to ride in sleek, shining limousines. It is common sense, isn't it, that transportation afforded a dignitary should be at least equal to the worldly office he holds and the worldwide power he possesses. Now, this is exactly where the Palm Sunday expectations of the crowd and the reality of who Jesus Christ really is did not fit together. You see, the crowd expected an earthly king, But they got one who testified under trial, "My kingdom is not of this world." The nationalistically centered crowd expected a politically powerful personality. They expected a military-oriented individual to liberate them from the oppression of the Roman occupational troops. Instead, however, they got one who came not in armor on a charging steed, but one riding on a lowly beast of burden, destined to do much, much more than they could ever conceive of. To liberate them from the grip of sin, to liberate them from the burden of legalism, and to liberate them from the slavery of the fear of death. You see, the misguided crowds errantly expected a king who would bring peace through warfare, but they received one who offered total peace with God as a result of a new conscience through faith in the sin-cleansing blood of the blessed Redeemer. The false understanding of Jesus held by the Palm Sunday crowd should be a solemn reminder for all of us. You see, we live in a generation of popular Jesus movements. Some people today desire to employ the King of Kings to magically transform their business establishment, enabling them to move from pauper to millionaire. Others cheer on the Prince of Peace in hopes that by praying to Jesus, he will in turn help them to win athletic contests, to capture beauty contests, or to select lucky lottery numbers. A front-page Wall Street Journal article explained recently how prayer services at a local Las Vegas church are especially busy before the casino-bound tourists begin pulling handles on the one-armed bandits. In ancient days, whenever foreign kings appeared, this usually meant fear and war, destruction and death. The people feared this invasion. Their invasion arrival was not something to look forward to. It almost always meant suffering, but today, as our King on this Palm Sunday comes to us through His Holy Word, we hear the Savior saying to us, to our anxious, worried, troubled hearts, "Fear not." You see, Jesus does not come to destroy you. He comes to save you. He came not to judge you, but He wants to strengthen you and to build you up in His Spirit. Oh, Jesus seeks not to condemn you. He desires the pardon that He bought with His blood on Calvary's cross to be yours forever and to cleanse your guilty conscience from sin. Jesus' desire is for your guilty conscience to be set free and for you to begin today on a totally new life. The Savior shall never ask you to build an earthly kingdom. Jesus desires only to live within you. He comes in a meek and gracious way. He represents a new and a different kingdom. He does not come as a powerful lawyer of judgment and curse. You see, when you by faith turn from worldly values and desires, and as you flee to the Savior's loving arms of forgiveness, Jesus shall live within your heart, and He shall assure your troubled conscience of total and complete pardon. This new kingdom, this new life of the Savior, shall transform your old existence. The old will then have passed away, and behold, all things will become new. This is what you want today, isn't it? No more will then temptations control your life. They will certainly always be present in this world, on this side of heaven. But with the Savior's power, with your King at your side, with Him living within you by faith, these habitual sins and powerful temptations shall never, never ever again be in control of your daily living. Oh yes, Jesus rode into Jerusalem to announce His kingship, a kingdom of another totally different world, a kingdom He asks all of us to seek. And when we do, He promises, all other concerns in this life are taken care of. This is what Jesus is promising you. And now, my friends, there's another detail in the text for today which should not escape us. This day, you see, on which we recall the first Palm Sunday, this represents in Old Testament time Sunday, the first day of the week, the 10th Nisan. This very day, according to Exodus 12, verse 3, was the day when the annual Passover lamb was to be selected. This lamb to be sacrificed was to be perfect, without blemish or without spot. And so now also, on the first Palm Sunday, the time was fulfilled in God's plan of salvation. God's hand was moving. It is no accident, you see, that on that same day on which the blemishless Paschal Lamb was traditionally selected, that Jesus, the sinless Son of God, rode triumphantly into David's city. Jesus' own sacrifice was at hand. He was now on his own, remember, voluntarily offering himself up as the Paschal Lamb of the world, the Lamb which would be crucified to pay for the sins of all mankind. This includes your sins, and it includes my sins. We thank God for this today on Palm Sunday. Now, to our limited minds, the idea that one man's death could pay for the sins of the whole world sounds incredible, even ridiculous. Listen, however, to God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, and I quote, "God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself." You see, when Jesus died, God the Father accepted His Son's innocent death as a worthy sacrifice for your sins. And now, because of what Jesus has done, when you by faith flee to the Savior's open arms of forgiveness, you need never more fear the day of judgment. Facing judgment day alone, with the knowledge of your past mistakes and failures and sins, is a frightful thing. Yet in Christ you can live every day without fear and with total confidence. Oh, my friend, remember Palm Sunday today, and then go to the day of judgment with your intercessor, Jesus at your side. Jesus is your attorney. He is your go-between. He is your mediator. He is the one who speaks to God on your behalf. And as the gracious call of Christ beckons you, turn away also from your sins and turn unto Him. He is your mediator. He is your salvation. There is no other name, the Bible says, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Fear not, Jesus says to you on this Palm Sunday. Jesus comes to bring comfort to your heart and not fear. He comes to bring hope to your heart and to drive away your anxieties. By faith, live with joy in His kingdom. The Bible account of the first Palm Sunday is a dramatic and moving scene. Let me repeat it for you from the account given in the Bible. The Bible says that Jesus was arranging for His final entry into the city of Jerusalem 1 week before His crucifixion. When He and His disciples were approaching Jerusalem, they came to the villages of Bethphage and Bethany. These small towns were located on the slopes of the Mount of Olives. Jesus then sent two of His disciples with these instructions. He said, "Go into the village just ahead of you, and as soon as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever ridden. Untie it," Jesus said, "and bring it here. If anybody asks you why you are doing this, just say, 'The Lord needs it,' and they will send it immediately." And so the two disciples went as Jesus told them. They found the colt tied by a doorway outside in the open street. They untied the young animal, and some of the bystanders said, "What are you doing untying the colt?" The disciples then replied as Jesus directed them. After that, the men raised no objection. The disciples brought the colt to Jesus. They threw their coats on the young animal's back, and Jesus took His seat upon it. Many of the people now spread out their coats in Jesus' path, and others put down straw which they had cut from the fields. The entire crowd, both those who were in front and those who were behind Jesus, began shouting and singing. "God save Him," they shouted. "God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord." They sang, "God bless the coming kingdom of our father David. God save him from on high." The inspiring record of the first Palm Sunday is a grand historical event indeed, but it must be more. Join the chorus, shall we? Yes, join the chorus today on this Palm Sunday and sing praises to Jesus. Join the crowd and the children. Say, "God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the new kingdom." This Christ-centered knowledge is your new hope. And as a result of your faith in Jesus Christ, your future is no longer confined to superficial fulfillment through material goods of this life. In Jesus Christ, your joy in life is not limited to muscles which become flabby and beautiful skin which dries up. In Christ, your future is not dictated by lonely confinement to hospitals or rest homes. As a young person in Christ, your future need no longer be locked into a prison of fears and uncertainties of the future. Jesus has come to you through Palm Sunday in His holy word, not in pomp and with superficial worldly promises, but with the certain hope of a new life in His new kingdom. Live then in this new kingdom with His assurance of total forgiveness of your sins, and live in the kingdom, and let that new kingdom live in you. And now as we close, always remember, Jesus now offers you certain hope. He promises you unlimited strength for your life. It's an entirely new ball game. The old has passed away, all things have become new. His kingdom is not of this world. As you live in Him, your life shall also be no more limited to the shallow and fleeting joys of this world. Fear not, the Scriptures say, your King has come. Let this Palm Sunday be the start of a new life for you. Amen.